today is Palm Sunday, and we think about the large crowds that acclaimed Jesus, that said, "Hosanna, he is the King, the one we've been waiting for." And then 1 week later, there was just a few women standing at the foot of the cross. Everyone else had deserted him. And let us think this morning about the difference between being part of the crowd and being part of the committed. We see in Luke chapter 14, verse 25, that large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." I want to set forth the truth plainly to you this morning. I don't want to varnish it. I want you to know what Jesus really did say about what it meant and what it means to be a Christian. Perhaps you enjoy being part of the large crowd. Perhaps you are curious to know more about Jesus, and that's good. Perhaps there would have been a thrill for the crowds to have been even near him, to be in his company. And it would have been a thrill to know that they could see him do amazing things, that they could hear his wonderful teaching. But there came a point in his ministry where he was more and more focused on his ultimate purpose of his life, which was to die on a cross for all of the world, that we may be forgiven of our sins and reconciled to God. And in Luke 9:51, it says that he resolutely set his face towards Jerusalem. And what we have in Luke's gospel is conversations on the road towards Jerusalem. And in chapter 14, we see there are still large crowds following him. But he turns to them and he says things which make them almost think twice. Is this really what it's all about? Jesus, he didn't deceive people. He didn't say, "Come and join this movement and hide the small print from them." That's what the devil does. He says to us in our thought life, he says, "You'll find life without God. You'll find it in money. You'll find it in power. You'll find it in selfish ambition. You'll find it in sex outside of God's plan." And he doesn't show us the small print, which is that that is a road to destruction. Jesus offered a wide invitation to everyone to come into relationship with God. But he also said that the point of entry was actually very narrow. He spoke about the broad is the road that leads to destruction, and narrow is the road, is the gate that leads to life. And Jesus here is turning to the crowd and he's saying three times, this is what a disciple is. This is what a disciple is. This is what a disciple is. He says, unless you do this, you cannot be a disciple. And I want to look with you at what these three things are. He's saying that disciples are fully devoted. He's saying that disciples are people that die for him, and that disciples are people that are focused on the finish, fully devoted, focused on the finish, and prepared to die for Jesus. These are incredible words. I find them so challenging myself. But by the grace of God, let us learn together what Jesus is saying to us. He's not saying, if you don't do these things, you won't be a very good disciple. He's saying, you won't be a disciple at all. He's saying that there's a difference between someone who is a fan and someone who is a follower, someone who admires Jesus, someone who wants all the comforts of following Jesus. But when Jesus says, do this, We go our own way. Jesus said that if we are his followers, if we are his true disciples, then we will bear fruit and people will know by our fruit that we are his true disciples. He says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. People say, isn't it just all about love? Isn't it just all about loving one another? Isn't that the big picture of the Christian life? It is, but it's also about loving God. And the way we show our love for God is that we take seriously the commands of Jesus. We take seriously the commands of his word and we put them into practice. So let's look at the first thing that Jesus says. Disciples are fully devoted. Verse 26. Brace yourself. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Now, there would have been people in that crowd who had brought their children along because they wanted their children to get to know God better. They wanted their children to get to know Jesus. So how can Jesus be saying, unless you hate your children, unless you hate your brother and sister, you cannot be my disciple? This is a hard saying of Jesus. It's a plain categorical statement of truth to get our attention on something really, really important. Whenever we have a hard saying like that, you have to look at other verses. And in chapter 14, verses 12 to 14, we have these words. Jesus said, when you give a lunch or a dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Now, Jesus is not saying there that we should not invite our friends and family around for dinner. He's saying that the priority to be in the blessing of God is to remember the least, to remember those who don't have any friends, the forgotten people. In Luke chapter 6, Jesus says, love your enemies. Is Jesus then saying, love your enemies and hate your family? No, he's not saying that. What he's saying is that we need to not just love the people who love us back, but like God, we need to love the people that don't love us, the people that hate us. We need to love them even more and show the grace of God. In John 6, verse 27, it says, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life. Is Jesus saying that we should not work and provide for our families? No, he's not saying that. He's saying that the priority is eternity. I can remember working very long hours in the car industry. I can remember also thinking about God's calling on my life to be a preacher. And there was one day I was sitting at my desk in my study, and I just, it's not something that happens very often, but I just sensed the Spirit of God saying to me, turn round. And I turned round, and on top of the filing cabinet, there was a little box which had memory verses, and one of them had fallen to the floor. And as I picked it up off the floor, I read the verse. Jesus said, do not work for food that spoils, but work for food that endures to eternal life. And I sensed God's Spirit saying to me in that moment, you're going to work hard all your life. You're going to give your all to whatever you do, whether it's in the car industry or wherever it is. Why don't you give your all to the preaching of the gospel? The priority of eternity. So as we think about what Jesus is saying about how unless we hate our father and mother, our wife and children, our brothers and sisters, we cannot be his disciple. What he's talking about there is the priority of our devotion. He's saying that we need to love God more than we love our families. He's saying that our love for Jesus, our devotion to Jesus, our commitment to Christ, our loyalty to him is to be of such forceful, energizing strength that even our best love for our spouse, our best love for our parents, our earnest longing for our children, or even our own genuine interest in our own well-being will be seen like a total disregard in comparison to our full-on love for Jesus. I love my wife. I love my wife more than any other person on the planet. But compared to my love for Jesus, it can sometimes seem like she's disregarded. Now, don't misunderstand that, Alison, if you're tuning in, but I'm using it as an example. I'll use it as another example. I really like living in Edinburgh. I really like living in Newcastle. I love the Geordies. I really liked living in London. But my heart was always in the Highlands. My heart is Highland. My heart was always in the Highlands. And when my friends heard me talking about the Highlands, when they heard me talking about Inverness, then it could seem like my love for Newcastle and my love for Edinburgh, my love for London was like a hatred. It's about the priority of our love, the priority of our devotions. And Jesus is saying there can be no rivals. Think of Pilgrim's Progress and Christian, when he becomes a Christian, he's leaving his home and his wife and his children, whom he loves, are calling after him. They're saying, "Would you leave us for Christ?" And it says that the man put his fingers in his ears and he cried out, "Life, life, eternal life." And he had to choose Jesus because his family were getting in the way of his devotion to Jesus. Do you have a family relationship that's preventing you from total commitment and obedience to Jesus? Then that family relationship means too much to you. Do you have a job, which although it's a wonderful gift from God, that it's preventing you from a total commitment to Jesus? It's becoming like an idol. Then it means too much to you. Is there a friendship that's preventing you from a total commitment to Jesus? Then it means too much to you. Jesus is saying, where is our priority? Unless I am your priority, you cannot be my disciple. And in verse 28, he's saying these words. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, "This fellow began to build and was not able to finish." So the second thing that Jesus is saying about what it means to be a true disciple is that true disciples are focused on the finish. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life. Do not invest for the short term. It is only those who persevere to the end that will be saved. I cannot emphasize that enough, that a true disciple is a follower who keeps on following. And if Jesus is not the priority in our life, then we are at risk of falling away because we're putting other things in his place. And that is a dangerous, dangerous path. Now, Jesus loved God the Father more than anything else. His devotion to his Father drove everything that he did in this life. And also, he was focused on the finish. He was able to endure so much, especially that Easter week. He was able to endure so much because he had his eye on the prize. What was the prize? It was you. It was you being reconciled to God. He loves you, and he was prepared to go through all of that so that when He is in glory. He will see you in glory. He says that I have many rooms prepared. I have them prepared for you. And it says that Jesus had the joy set before him. What was that joy? It was spending an eternity with you. That's why he went to the cross, because he had his eye focused on the finish. And he says to us that we need to be focused on the finish. We need to be people who don't just begin to build and then it all falls apart, but that we persevere to the end and we're able to finish well. And we are to be like Jesus, who endure the hardship of following him in today's culture, which it's very hard to be a Christian in today's culture. The values of the culture and the values of the Bible are often clashing. But we need to persevere in obedience to the end, pressing on to the goal to win the prize for which God has called us in Christ Jesus. That prize, that future prepared for you. Don't throw it away. Finally, disciples need to die. At the end of the Christianity Explored course, we finished a session, Come and Die. What a difficult thing to explain to people. But true evangelism is not lowering the bar and making it easy for people. It's setting forth the truth plainly so that people see exactly what Jesus is saying. And Jesus is saying, when he calls us, that we need to come and die. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the German pastor and theologian, he said, if Jesus calls a man, he bids him come and die. And for Bonhoeffer, that meant not following the culture, Nazi Germany, and how it changed in the 1930s. No, he stayed faithful to Jesus, and he even gave his life in prison before the end of the war. Remember, Jesus is not asking us to do anything that he has not done before us. He came and he died for us. Look at what he gave up for us. Greater love has no man than this, that he lays down his life for his friends. But look how Jesus laid down his life for his enemies. He gave his life for all people, even when they were afar off and they had no thought of him. While we were still sinners, he died for us. He died for me. He died for you. He gave the uttermost. He gave it all for us and for our salvation. And so, as Christians, what are we living for? Listen to these words from the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians 5:15. Reflecting on Christ's love expressed in the cross, expressed in his humiliation, expressed in his torture, expressed in his desolation, his loneliness, his desertion by all his friends. He did that for you. He did that for me. Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. We're not to live for ourselves, but for him who died for us. What are you living for? Who are you living for? All I am and have and ever hope to be, all for Jesus. Can you say that this morning? All for Jesus. Not a fan, but a follower. Giving all for Jesus. All my ambitions, all my decisions, all my relationships, all my hopes, all my plans, I surrender these into your hands. I surrender I surrender. Jesus said, not my will, but yours be done, Father. And if we are true followers, we will deny ourselves and we will go his way, not our own way. Disciples prioritize on Jesus. Disciples persevere for Jesus. Disciples die for Jesus and enjoy eternal life, knowing God forever. So we must decide. You must decide. What are you going to do? Think of the words from Elijah, 1 Kings 18. How long will you keep jumping from one side to another? How long will you have one foot in both camps? How long will you be part of the crowd but not part of the committed? If the Lord is God, follow him. If the Lord Jesus is your Lord, follow him. Decide for him. Go his path. Step out in faith today. Choose the narrow path. Will you pray with me? I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, though all desert me, I still will follow. Because I want to follow you, Jesus. You went to the cross for me. You chose God's will, not your comfort. And I choose to follow you today. I recommit my life to you today. And I trust you for the future. I place my life into your hands. All for you, Jesus. All for you. I do not trust in my own understanding. I trust in you with all of my heart. I do not lean on my own understanding. I lean upon your word. And in all my ways, help me to acknowledge you and make my path straight, the path of eternal life. In Jesus' name, and may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and he is so full of grace for me and for you today. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of his wonderful Holy Spirit be with you all this day and forevermore. Amen.